I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Today's reading comes from Luke 11, 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. And for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his presence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if his child should ask for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the reading. You know, when I came up with this title, Shameless as a Man Can Be, I thought, that'd make a great song. Maybe a great country song. I don't know. Then again, maybe I borrowed it. I don't know. I do know that while I was sitting up here, I told John Beeson that it appears that the congregation has lost their sense of humor. But don't worry about it. It is easily noticed that the Lord's Prayer that Johnny just read, it's different than what we pray, is it not? You can read Matthew, you're going to find the same thing. It's different. But the reason it's different is the church fathers, as we call them, decided that they wanted to make it a little more easily memorized. So they added and put a few things on there that would help us to memorize the Lord's Prayer. And most of us stick to that reading. But I want you to think about a few things, because, you know, it's one thing to look at the Lord's Prayer and this reading and to decide, you know, well, it's not exactly what we say, but it's a version of what we say. We can do that all day. But first, I think the most important thing for us to do is to look at the parable. That's where you're going to find some differences. And I want you to think about this, and I'm going to reread a section for you that I think is going to be really, really important. "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." How does that make you feel about God? Because of his persistence. You see, if we go over Scripture and we look at it and actually scrutinize what's being said, sometimes we go back to the Greek or the Hebrew, and we find out that somebody didn't interpret it right. Here's the problem. The word that is being used in the New Revised Standard Version and many other versions is anadeia. Anadeia. That Greek word is not persistence, but somehow we got that. What that word means is shamelessness. So if you read it and you use the word shamelessness, who is to be shamed? The person who is not responding immediately or the person knocking on the door wanting bread? You see, if you change that word, it changes your perspective of the reading and it tells the true story of what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples and everyone else. Because if you change that and look at shamelessness, then you get a different perspective on the people involved in the parable. Let me put it another way. I do this to Jason and others in the Sunday school class. If you say it's persistence and the guy has to keep banging on the door to get the neighbor, who is God, to do what he wants, what does that say about God? Well, God isn't going to respond unless I just keep banging on the door and saying, I need this. That's not God. And I'll prove it later in the text. That's not God. That's why the word is shamelessness and should be and will be, because the neighbor is coming over in the middle of the night, banging on the door and said, I had a friend show up. Get up and get me some bread. Now who's shameless? Oh, well, I wasn't prepared for my friend, so I'm going to wake you and your children up so that you'll get it for me. Gives you a different perspective, doesn't it? God isn't like that. You know, there was a lady named Mrs. Moeller who was being cross-examined after the death of her third husband. The attorney asked, what happened to your first husband? And she said, well, he died of mushroom poisoning. He says, oh, well, Mrs. Moeller, what happened to your second husband? And she said, he also died of mushroom poisoning. The attorney looks at her and says, so what happened to your third husband? And she said, oh, he died of a brain concussion. And how did that happen? The attorney asked. And Mrs. Moeller said, I hit him in the head with an iron skillet because he wouldn't eat the mushrooms. That's kind of the picture they're drawing of God here. You got to hit him upside the head to get him to respond, and that's not God. Will God act only out of potential shame? Oh, well, if you're going to make me look bad, then I'll do something for you. That's not who Jesus is talking about. The reality is, we don't need to hit God in the head to get him to listen. We do not need to bang away with prayer and constantly remind God of what we want. God knows what we want. God will give us what we want, and we don't need to hit him upside the head. It may make us feel better to think that we need to, but we don't. And how do we know this? Well, here's the proof. Look at this. And John read this. So I say to you, ask, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Not everybody who bangs away. Not everybody who's persistent. Ask, and it'll be given you. That's how we know that word was misinterpreted. This is Jesus' follow-up to his parable. That's what he says. Ask, and it will be given you. So, again I ask, who in Jesus' parable is the shameless one? The one being petitioned? Or the petitioner? What kinds of things do you consider shameless when thinking of spiritual things? And when thinking of God, is it possible for God to be shameless? Is that even possible? And if so, if you say yes, in what way can God be shameless? And can you give any examples of where you've ever seen God be shameless? At this point, let us go back to the Lord's Prayer, because that's going to be an important step. We pray this prayer every Sunday, and perhaps some of you pray it in between Sundays. And one Sunday, John pointed out that we've gotten to where we just say it rote. We don't even think about the words. And I think that's true. Good job, John. In fact, Luke's and Matthew's prayers are different, as I pointed out earlier, and we have taken those, and when I say we, the church, as I said, the church fathers, and taken it and changed it. How many of you pray that prayer exactly the way you find it written in Luke or Matthew? Anybody? Well, the good news is we know the Lord's Prayer. But do we really? Let's try this one. Hallowed be your name. Any guesses what it means to say, hallowed be your name? Holy? Anyone else? Wow. Theology class is over. It means, this is what hallowed be your name means. God will act to honor God's name even when we act in dishonorable ways or shameless ways. God's going to honor God's self by doing what we ask, even when we go in the middle of the night and say, you know, we weren't prepared, we didn't do what we should have done, and we're bringing it to you and we want you to fix it. You know, there was many years ago, and I've said this many times, next year on June the 1st, I will celebrate 40 years of ministry. And I can tell you they've been 40 great years overall. But as I think about that 40 years, there was a lady in the church, probably my fifth year in ministry. She was really sweet, and I was actually at my home church. And I'd known her for years. In fact, she had been one of my teachers. In fact, I'd dated her daughter, and she still liked me, so that was good. But this lady was really sweet, and so I was gone for years, and I hear that she's not doing well. And they had put her in a nursing home, and she had cancer. So I went back to visit her, and we sat and we talked, and she was joyful, and she still seemed to have a lot of energy, and even though she was in a bad situation, she seemed to be dealing with it quite well. And so I thought, well, that's great, but it wasn't but a year later, and then I get word she died. So I went back for the funeral, and while I was at the funeral, her daughter-in-law came up and said, we're so glad you attended. We want you to do the closing prayer. Well, folks, I couldn't help but tear up. I couldn't believe. I mean, there was a minister there doing the funeral, but even he insisted that I do the closing prayer, so I did. And as I stood there thinking about this woman, the daughter-in-law came back up and said, I got to tell you something. It's really been bothering me, and I want you to be aware of this. She saw you one other time. After you'd made the nursing home visit, she started feeling a little more energetic, and we took her out to eat, and you entered the restaurant, and she hid from you. Hid from me. Why? And she said she was ashamed of the way she looked. Shame. Shame will do that. I thought to myself, she went into a restaurant full of strangers and she didn't care, but she didn't want someone she knew and cared about to see her like that. That's the power of shame. It deflates, chokes, and kills one's sense of self. It can kill relationships with others and possibly even your perception of God. That's shame. And I hated that for her. She did not want me to see her like that. I suspect there are many in this sanctuary who know someone like my deceased friend, or you yourself have had this experience. But there's another type of shame, and that shame is when we dishonor our family or God. Can you think of anyone in the Bible who did that? How about King David? David wants Bathsheba, so he sends Uriah the Hittite out to be killed on the front line so he can get his wife. And then when Nathan walks in and calls him on it, and David realizes he's the bad guy, he rends his clothing and weeps and begs for forgiveness because he brought shame upon his family and upon God. You know, you think of King David and you think, what a great guy. He's like the best king ever. He had issues too. He was human. That's like a total shame. There was a successful businessman who had a well-educated son who was highly respected and honored, just like his father. But one day, to everyone's surprise, the son was arrested for embezzlement. At his trial, he appeared nonchalant and arrogant about his sinful actions. When the judge told him to stand up for sentencing, he still seemed unrepentant. Then, hearing this sound in the back of the court, he looks back on the other side of the room and he turned to see his aged father rising with him. The once erect head and straight shoulders of that honest man were now bowed low in shame. He had stood to be identified with his boy and to receive the verdict as though it were being pronounced on him. Suddenly, his son realized the terrible grief he was inflicting on him, and tears welled up in his eyes, and he realized he had tarnished the family name by his behavior. Now his poor father was caught in the backwash of his son's dishonest deeds, although he had done everything he could to keep him on the straight and narrow path, just as God did David. I must add, however, there is such a thing as healthy shame. Do you know what healthy shame is? Have you ever experienced it? Did your parents ever give you a healthy dose of shame when you were little? Healthy shame is that inner compass, the gentle voice of God, that tells us something is amiss in our lives and it motivates us to change or make amends so we can be true to ourselves. And I remember that when I was in seminary. I honestly was a good student. Not great. I was an undergrad by the time I got to seminary. I was just good. But I love philosophy, and I took a lot of philosophy classes in undergrad, and I took them when I was in seminary, and that was my thing. It still is. I love philosophy. But my philosophy professor, Dr. Charles Kemp, came up to me one day and brought me one of my papers I'd written, and it had a C- on it. You know what he said? This is a man I loved and highly respected. He said, Wes, this is not who you are. And that cut me to the quick. This is not who you are. I was embarrassed and ashamed of myself because I remember when I wrote that paper, it was, I just want to get it done. I didn't think about it. I just wanted to get it done. But that's healthy shame. His word to me was that voice telling me something was amiss in my life and I needed to and could change. And I did. His word that day and the healthy shame I experienced because of it got me back on track and got me focused on living up to my potential. And I ended up making an A in that course. But thanks to him, because I would have taken shortcuts from there on if he hadn't. We were friends. We've been friends right up until he died. And I think that's healthy shame. The Lord's Prayer, however we wish to say it, Matthew's way or the traditional church way, Luke's way, it's a call for us to get back on track. So Jesus tells the Lord's Prayer, then gives the example. You don't need to bang away. God's going to hear you. You're the one that's going to be shameful. God's going to be the one to honor God's self and make sure that He answers you. We can blame God. A lot of people do. Something happens in our lives, whether it be that we don't take care of ourselves, or our children don't take care of themselves, and they die early, whatever it is, and then we say, oh God, why did you do it? But no matter how shameless we are, God will not be shameful. God will act to honor God's name, even when we act in dishonorable ways and shameless ways. I believe many of us can relate to the Garth Brooks song, Shameless. Certainly King David would have. We must remember, God is eager to give us good things. The question is, will we ask for good things or for things that bring shame on us and our family? Will we hound God with trivial things, or do we take our words seriously when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done? Do you mean it when you say it, or have we just gotten to where we say the words and don't think about them? The Lord's Prayer is quite a serious prayer. Are we serious when we say it? Are we serious when we say, we want your way, Lord? We want your way. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you knowing that oftentimes we slip. We do things we shouldn't do, and sometimes we just blatantly disobey you. We are so thankful for your forgiveness, but we don't want to take it for granted. We ask your forgiveness now for our shortcomings. We ask that you bless us and fill us with your Spirit, that we may do better. And Lord, we give you thanks for the many wonderful things that are happening around us at this time, with Cowboy coming home, with Ben Nash celebrating 100 wonderful years, with all the changes that happen in our world that are for the good. We give you thanks and praise, even if we don't realize just how good they are. Be with us in our going out, that we may do your work, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.